Welcome to the Kanem, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. Zetas, as visitors to our Earth, can move in and out of our dimension, seeming to disappear before our eyes. What does this involve? Per the Zetas, they share our same space when they do this. But their atoms, their molecules, their physical structure is simply moving at a faster rate, and thus their subatomic particles do not interact with ours. Because dimension shifting is actually a change in the vibrational rate of the molecules, the Zetas refer to dimensions as densities. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Physical Density, written July 1995. Objects and your and our density occupy the same space as when humans are moved through walls. What you call subatomic particles move at different frequencies or vibrations. They do not collide or even recognize each other. Their motion does not put them in the same place at the same time, any more than if you were to walk through the forest. The trees are more dense in this instance, in that from your point of view they aren't moving at all. You guide yourself past the trees. Subatomic particles in our density, in essence, flow past those in your density, as water does to obstacles in its path. Molecules in your density and our density simply slide by each other and do not interact. Thus, they can even occupy the same space. Space, in fact, is more empty than full. A planet, likewise, can and is both densities at the same time. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Zetas have, throughout Zeta Talk, referred to our density level on Earth as the third density, and the one they currently live in as the fourth density. Well, what the heck is the first and second density then? And is there anything vibrating faster than fourth? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Same Space, written July 1995. Different densities means that simultaneously, in the same spot, several realities can occur. We have spoken of first density through sixth density, and inferred that there are higher densities humans really need not be concerned with at this time. First density through third occupy the same plane. In other words, they reside in the same reality together. First density is rock and water without life. Second density is life without conscious intelligence, such as plants and animals, even such intelligent animals and chimpanzees. Third density is intelligent, conscious life, such as humans have. First and second density are referred to as densities not because they are truly differing density states, but because they indicate different levels of spiritual potential. Density is a term that refers not only to the physical state, but to the spiritual. Thus, in first density, the spiritual potential is nil. In second density, the spiritual potential is possible. And in fact, incarnations into second density life occur as a lesson. In third density, spiritual potential is realized, etc. In densities higher than third density, coexistence can occur. Thus, it occurs that on planet Earth, where third density humans are living and walking about, fourth, fifth, and higher density incarnations are living and moving about, occupying the same space, as it were. This occurs because of a higher vibrational rate of the subatomic particles. Were one to travel rapidly through the densities occurring in a single spot, one would see, first, the third density existence on the third density Earth with, say, a human standing in a field of corn. Then, moving to fourth density existence, one might see, for instance, a Zeta standing in a forest, where the forest and the earth it grows upon are both in fourth density. Then, Moving to fifth density, one might see yet another scene. When we state that the Earth is scheduled to move to fourth density service to other, we are describing what is to happen to humans. They will still be on a third density Earth, on the same plane as the future fourth density home of humans, as a portion of the Earth will be left in third density. Much confusion reigns on the issue of density. Humans, for instance, were used to the concept of matter and energy being discrete and separate. Matter could not be energy, and energy could not be matter. Then Einstein shook things up, and humans, after much painful denial and agony, allowed their concept of reality to change. Density understanding is just such a quantum concept leap. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. At some point in the Earth's transformation, the Earth will be moved en masse to fourth density, as by this time 89% or better of the inhabitants of Earth will be solidly in the service to others spiritual orientation, and ready to have a lighter physical load during incarnations so that the spiritual life can proceed more easily. The kingdom of heaven on earth, so to speak. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Transformation, written July 1995. During the transformation, when the composition of the Earth's human population is of a sufficient degree of service to others, the Earth, along with its water, atmosphere, and fauna and flora, and intelligent species, will all move into fourth density. This movement will be, as they say, transparent to the Earth. Humans will become more mentally aware of others around them, but will not know why. The Earth will not undergo any noticeable changes. The magnetic field, north and south poles, or relationship to the solar system will not change. Some planets in your solar system are more second and third density than fourth, and their character in relation to the new Earth will change in that regard. However, this will be minimal. The Earth will remain at fourth density for some time, as this is not a whistle stop, quickly passed. In fact, the opposite is the case. Fourth density is one of the longest densities, much longer than third density, in fact, because of the many lessons to be learned. We will explain. The single lesson of third density is positional to other entities, making that determination, the spiritual orientation determination. The third density entity must decide which orientation they wish to operate in, service to self or service to other. Where it might seem to the reader that this issue could be quickly settled, many incarnations are required to come to a final, firm conclusion. End of the quote on the transformation. Okay, so much of what is on Earth will remain in third density, as well as bouncing to fourth density. So sounds like our orbit around the Sun will remain the same, our view of the stars might change a bit, our view of the planets will remain much the same. What about the Sun? Does it get split up too into third and fourth density? And if so, will it become dimmer? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Left Behind, written September 1996. If the Sun moves into fourth density, will it leave third density? Yes. Those portions of the Sun which are inert, used up, so to speak, will remain as a gravitational center for the third density planets orbiting the Sun, including Planet X, which is not scheduled to become a fourth density planet in step with the Earth. With less of a gravitational pull, the third density planets in your solar system will move outward, assuming a larger orbit. Life remaining on the surface of the third density Earth will freeze to death as the surface of the Earth cools under the diminishing rays from a dimmed third density Sun. We will leave some undesirables behind. Mosquitoes, for instance, which serve no biological purpose except to feed themselves and support the transport of parasites and disease. And tapeworms, who likewise are not a necessary link in any symbiotic cycle. The agents of many diseases, such as a virus, bacteria, fungus, or invading parasite, will not be moved during the shift. All these will freeze to death. Ultimately, even the core of the Earth will cool, the lava hardened, but life under them will continue for some millennia before the heat at the center of your old home begins to fade. The men in black and others coexisting with you now in underground homes are not scheduled to move to fourth density in step with humans living on the surface. The men in black and other underground inhabitants will live for some millennia with the impression that your son died. Suns do die quickly, and not all have that last glorious burst of life, the supernova. Most do not. During the transition to fourth density, there will be enough fuel left in the third density sun to give an orderly death. Those on Planet X, looking through their telescopes, will see a fading sun, not one that winked out suddenly. They will assume that the Earth's moon was torn away during their passage through the solar system, not unexpected, as this in truth was how the moon was placed as a satellite of the Earth in the first place. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Well, I'm for getting rid of those pesky mosquitoes, and I'd not mind leaving pollution behind, too, if that's possible. But perhaps it will all be cleaned up by then. Note that what the Council of Worlds is planning to leave behind is not what is reported by the popular book series called Left Behind. Here, those operating in the service to others leave the Earth suddenly, where the opposite will occur. Those in the service to other will remain, inherit the Earth, and flourish, while others, those in the service to self and the undecideds, leave gradually as they die. And I quote from the Left Behind series, the book. In one shocking moment, millions around the globe disappear. It is the final year of the Great Tribulation. The Tribulation forces holding out in their San Diego safe house, but in reality there's no place left that can be called safe. All the world's remaining armies have gathered in the Middle East, poised for the battle of the ages and preparing for the mighty beasts of the apocalypse. Who will survive at the end of the world? End of the quotes from the Left Behind book series. The switch to fourth density is estimated to occur about 100 years after the pole shift. Not in our lifetime, but what will it seem like during the switch to those humans living on Earth during this transition? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Earth Switch, written July 1995. Just as living beings such as ourselves and yourselves can be in different densities, coexisting in the same spot, but being unaware of each other, so planets can and do so coexist. Fourth density planets are not as prevalent as planets in the root density for obvious reasons. Planets are moved to fourth density only to support life in fourth density, and most planets do not have any life at all. So what does the universe then look like in fourth density? Sparse. Imagine your solar system, its sun always visible and the orbiting planets among the many stars in the sky. In fourth density, there will be a sun, but its appearance will be different, not as bright and more pale. Will astronomers have to adjust to a new night sky? Most certainly, as there will be fewer stars and many of our old guides will be gone. However, as this change will take place shortly after the cataclysms, with all its travails and gloomy cloud cover, any telescopes operational will be useless. Even today, astronomers require a clear night. When the scientific community has regrouped, new maps of the sky will be redrawn, with only an occasional scratch of the head as to why the skies, too, have changed. After the switch, humans will be able to look differently at the new fourth density sun without distress or injury. Sunburn will be a thing of the past. Where the sun will be less intense, the winters will be more extreme, creating an Earth with less land mass in a habitable zone. Rather than a steamy equator, the equator will be essentially temperate and the poles will occupy almost half the available surface areas. Lest this seem grim, it should be understood that ice at the poles ties up much water in the form of ice, and the sea level will thus drop several hundred feet. All in all, a good trade-off, since this will occur some 100 years or more after the pole shift, this should not affect any humans currently worried about surviving the pole shift. All humans surviving the pole shift will have died and incarnated safely elsewhere before this climate change occurs. After the switch, humans will find their moon has traveled with them into fourth density, as its influence on the tides is something life on Earth has come to rely upon and has adapted to. Without the moon, the many forms of life in tidal pools would die, and the cleansing action of washing tides would cease. After the switch, humans will find all the plants and animals now in the third density Earth, their beautiful world, has also moved. The humans of the future, the hybrids we are developing, will not live in a lifeless fourth density world, sparse, bleak, without vegetation, songbirds, or fish. Where we will leave some of the agents of disease behind, the human body will still be subject to stress and degenerative diseases, as well as aging, as all this is inherent in the genetic structure of the human body. Lions and tigers and wolves will also come along, as without predators, your wild herds would soon create a population problem, the starvation of many versus the occasional quick kill. Nature will continue as before. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. What will this shift of the entire Earth into the fourth density involve? Scheduled to occur some 100 years after the pole shift and taking all humans on Earth over to the fourth density at that time, leaving mosquitoes and the men in black behind, taking part of the sun and all of the moon along. How does the whole solar system get reserved for a move like that? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Shift Mechanism, written August 1996. Deliberate density shifting is an adaptation of what occurs naturally. Rather than a complicated affair, it is remarkably simple. The complexity lies not in affecting the shift, but in managing the perimeter. The subject of a shift can be seen as selective as a DNA construct, or as general as everything within a defined area. Once deliberately shifted, the subject of a shift remains in the target density until shifted back. It does not drift due to our attention to the perimeter during the select and define process. In shifting large areas, such as will occur when your world goes through its transformation, the same mechanism is used. If one wishes to wash a tiny area, one uses a tiny hose with a pinpoint nozzle at the end and uses a steady hand, or allows the directed flow to be under the control of a computer, a steadier hand. If one wishes to wash a large area, such as when hosing out a fire, one does not concern oneself with precision as much as maintaining the volume and force of the flow. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The movie The Fly documents the nightmares that can occur if density switching is not done correctly. For the Zetas, density switching on their part is happening all the time during visitations, as the visitors are living in the main in fourth density and come into our density only for conferences. Are they risking becoming the fly each time they do so? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Dangers in Shifting, written September 1995. Most incarnated entities experience a density shift once when moving to the next higher density during a transformation. But those busily at work trying to effect the process or outcome transformation may experience repeated density shifts as they move into the lower density for conferences with the transforming group and back up again to their accustomed density. Such is the situation with ourselves, as we are normally in fourth density, living nearby in undersea installations, but move into third density to continue the hybrid program or confer with our contactees, almost a daily affair. Does all this density shifting take its toll? Yes and no, depending on the circumstances. There are dangers, and thus our status as volunteers during these transformational endeavors carries with it the classification of hazardous duty. What are the dangers? First and foremost, there is a danger of not making a complete transition, of being partly left behind. This can happen when the coordinates are not set properly, a matter we attend to with the utmost care. These coordinates are essentially boundaries, but boundaries are defined as more than the periphery. Boundaries include chemical composition, molecular structure, and connectedness. A simple example of a chemical composition boundary would be moving acidic material but leaving behind inert or alkaline material. A simple example of a molecular structure boundary would be leaving behind radioactive material in a slag heap but moving all else. A simple example of a connectedness boundary would be moving all of a table but leaving behind the chairs, floor, and tablecloth. Density shifting dangers are usually encountered early on in an entity's experience with such matters, and leaving a memory not soon forgotten. The true stories about the Philadelphia experiment and the fictional movie The Fly are not far from the horror that can happen when the necessary knowledge or proper care are not in place. We take care not to touch one another or our contactees during the shift. We take care to include all parts of the object to be moved within the boundaries. We have a series of overlapping and redundant computerized and manual checks and balances that make the safety of the shift virtually fail-safe. There are positive aspects to the ability to set partial boundaries, however. This is the mechanism by which we will leave behind tapeworms, mosquitoes, and many viral or bacterial diseases when the shift to fourth density occurs during the Earth's transformation. Markers peculiar to these living organisms will simply not be included within the boundaries. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Do you suppose those who made the movie The Fly were aware of density shifting dangers and in essence documenting something humans in MJ-12 had become aware of? As in the rumored Philadelphia experiment? And I quote from a report on the Philadelphia experiment. The Philadelphia experiment is an alleged United States Navy experiment, Project Rainbow, done on October 28, 1943. According to the legend, the destroyer USS Eldridge was made invisible, dematerialized, and teleported from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to Norfolk, Virginia, and back again to the Philadelphia Naval Yard. The experiment allegedly had such terrible side effects, such as making sailors invisible and causing them to go mad, that the Navy quit exploring this exciting new technology. The experiment was allegedly done by Dr. Franklin Reno as an application of Einstein's unified field theory. The experiment supposedly demonstrated a successful connection between gravity and electromagnetism, electromagnetic space-time warping. The facts are that the Navy does all kinds of experiments, many of them secret. Many of these experiments attempt to find military applications for the latest discoveries or theories in physics, such as Einstein's unified field theory. It seems to be a fact that the Navy was experimenting with invisibility in 1943, but not with making ships disappear. Edward Dudgeon, who says he was there on the USS Engstrom, claims that they had hoped to make our ships invisible to magnetic torpedoes by degaussing them. Dudgeon describes the procedure to UFO investigator Jacques Vallée. They sent the crew ashore, and they wrapped the vessel in big cables. Then they sent high voltage through these cables to scramble the ship's magnetic signature. This operation involved contract workers, and of course there were also merchant ships around, so civilian sailors could well have heard Navy personnel saying something like, "They're going to make us invisible," meaning undetectable by magnetic torpedoes. End of the quote. Just what did occur during the Philadelphia experiment? The Zetas explain, and I quote from Zeta Talk, Philadelphia Experiment, written July 1995. The Philadelphia experiment was fictional, a disinformation scheme to divert humans from exploring the real experiment that occurred. The Philadelphia experiment, much in the media, is a fraud perpetrated to distract people from pursuing the real Philadelphia experiment, which didn't take place anywhere near Philadelphia. Servicemen were indeed injured, and because the risk of questions existed, the cover story was put up to effectively point any questioners to a dead end. The real experiment with moving between dimensions, which can and does occur naturally on your third density planet, was done in a warehouse in Kansas, rural, remote, virtually uninhabited because of sparse farmhouses and farmhands. The area was inhabited only during planting and harvesting times. Under intense compression, such as occurs in the center of the Earth, the third density matter emits energy rays which approximate those naturally occurring in fourth density. These rays escape the core of the Earth in bursts on occasion, thus causing the problems reported in the Bermuda Triangle, for instance, where ships or planes seem to disappear, then reappear. Essentially, the third density matter is temporarily confused as to its rate of vibration and moves into the fourth density state. This is akin to what we have done to contactees when they report being moved through walls. However, in the hands of humans, who received information on how to produce this effect from service to self aliens, this ability proved disastrous. Moving into fourth density requires more than just bombardment of matter to the point of compression tension. It requires a total shift, and if one expects to return, a total shift back. The humans conducting this experiment were of such an orientation they did not care about the servicemen being used or what might become of them. Rather than hesitate, knowing they did not have all the parameters in place, they proceeded. The servicemen, who were encased in a metal box, were left partially in the fourth density along with portions of their container. They were, of course, all dead, but the witnesses of this experiment and the associates whom the servicemen had just recently been mingling with were many. The government concocted a repeat experiment, which proceeded far away enough so that the story as to the results was similar. Additional servicemen were subjected, knowing the probable results, but most of these survived to chat among themselves and their families. All secrets escape, leaks occur, and in this way the investigators would be altogether in the wrong vicinity and talking to altogether the wrong participants. End of the quote from Zeta Talk on the Philadelphia experiment. Ah, so the Bermuda Triangle is part of this density or dimension shifting phenomenon. That explains the reports of planes or ships fading out of view, then seen again. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Bermuda Triangle, written July 1995. The Bermuda Triangle does indeed have unusual qualities, as do other places here and there on Earth. Magnetic anomalies are reported where compasses swing wildly, clocks stop, and concrete objects fade from sight. What's causing this? These places, fortunately few in number, are an outlet from the center of the Earth for a byproduct of the Earth's compression, a gravity byproduct, so to speak. A vent from where subatomic particles not known to man surge forth periodically, and woe be to the man or fish who finds itself in the way. There are stories of ships and planes disappearing, and it is assumed they were carried off by extraterrestrials, taken off to a far-off zoo for exhibition. Then why would these only disappear from such sites and not regularly around the globe? Here and there around the face of the Earth are similar outlets for this byproduct of the Earth's compression, many of them well known due to the havoc shippers or travelers experience. An area off the coast of Japan, and in one of the Great Lakes, for example. Such outlets also occur where man is unaware of them, as in the depths of the ocean or within inaccessible mountain crevices. What determines the outlet is not only the surface structure of the rock, fractures in fact, but also the structure of the underlying rock, factors man cannot measure. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Imagine being a pilot in a plane suddenly thrust into fourth density, into dead, dark space. Do they live there today, trying to figure out how to get back? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Missing Pilots, written May 1996. Encounters with UFOs have on rare occasion resulted in the disappearance of an airplane and its pilot, never to be seen again. What happened to these pilots? Were they captured or killed? When spaceships disappear, winking out in the sky in an instant, they are essentially moving into another density. We have explained that density shifting has its dangers, and if the ship is programmed to switch with its surrounding airspace, the switch takes the pilot and the plane with it. Thus, the pilot finds himself suddenly in a fourth density existence, without atmosphere to breathe. This is a quick and painless death for the startled pilots, who have little chance to sort it out before they lose consciousness. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And if returned to third density, as the density shifting that occurs in the Bermuda Triangle is temporary, then it would appear as though all the pilots had just lost consciousness all at once, the planes then going into the waves. The fact that this density shifting occurs naturally in certain spots on the Earth's surface may have given rise to the theory of wormholes in the universe, a means of teleporting rapidly to another place and then back again. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Wormholes, written April 1996. Wormholes don't exist. They're a figment in the imagination of scientists, just as a mythical quark which is supposed to make their formulas whole. Faced with perplexing natural phenomenon, such as occurred during the Philadelphia experiment and temporary disappearances that occur naturally in sites such as the Bermuda Triangle, human scientists have invented a term for what they imagine are portals. The portals, in their thinking, can be either man-made or naturally occurring. They reason that if the phenomenon, a temporary and partial density switch, occurs naturally in the Bermuda Triangle, then it should occur naturally in space. They speculate that perhaps this is the magic that allows aliens to transport themselves long distances in what seem to be a flash. Humans take advantage of natural phenomena, such as updrafts for the flight of gliders or orbits to position satellites, and they reason aliens have done the same. The switch to fourth density from third density is not that simple and does not occur naturally here and there within third density in any but temporary situations. The density confusion that occurs in the Bermuda Triangle is fleeting and is caused by the compression within the core of the Earth. Does this line up with what is out there in deep space? Wormholes simply do not exist. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. MJ-12 was aware of the alien presence, while of course denying it to the public. They were aware that aliens could fade from view in seconds, and that their ships could travel great distances in what is commonly termed faster-than-light travel, which does indeed involve moving to a faster density just beforehand. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Faster Than Light, written July 1995. Regarding how we move through space faster than the speed of light, we're not allowed to explain this to you within the limitations of your ability to understand and what you are allowed to know at this time. Things are not as they seem to you. Travel is done in a different density. Where the speed of light seems the fastest to you in third density, this is not nearly the fastest in, say, fourth density. In fourth density, the speed of light is over 17 times as fast. Measuring in light years, or some measure that makes distance comprehensible to you, would not describe the situation to you. There is a quantum leap in the speed of travel for each density leap. In addition, there are other forms of travel which we are not allowed to explain to you. Suffice it to say that if you compare the universe as known to us, the Zetas, to your local neighborhood, then the universe not visited by the Zetas is your solar system. Using this comparison to show you our range as compared to yours, you, in all the knowledge you have of the galaxies around you, have never left your house. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. But the public has been treated to plenty of depictions of wormholes in the movies, notably the movie Stargate. And I quote from a movie blurb, an alien race of vast powers and technology has access to a Stargate, enabling them to travel from world to world among the universe at almost instantaneous speeds. End of the quote. Another movie reference to wormholes is the movie Contact, which was adapted from a book by the same name written by Carl Sagan, undoubtedly a member of MJ-12. And I quote from the Contact blurb, Ellie detects a message of unknown origin in the form of a sequence of prime numbers coming from the star Vega. Further research on the message reveals a sideband of additional data describing a schema for what is believed to be a transportation machine for one passenger, propelling Ellie into an intergalactic transit system, possibly an interconnected network of wormholes, takes her initially to Vega. When Ellie returns to Earth, she has no material evidence to show of her journey. To her astonishment, she realizes that no time has passed since her launch to her comeback. Because of it, no one believes she actually made a space voyage. A dialogue between two government agents reveals a secret report that although only static was recorded on Ellie's video camera, 18 hours of static were recorded, suggesting that the voyage did indeed occur. End of the quote. Contactee or UFO lore sometimes includes references to density shifting. The clapping that Whitley Strieber refers to, where he and his wife are aware their visitors are back, is related to density shifting. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Knocking, written May 1996. Frequently, contactees report a knocking sound preceding their visitations, and almost invariably interpret this as a signal of some kind. Humans, of course, knock on doors, tap out Morse code, beat on drums to send messages through the wilderness, and tap their feet or drum their fingers to express impatience. If they hear knocking, what else could it be? Density shifting is most often silent, with only the airspace disturbed. A ship suddenly appearing high in the sky, displacing a few molecules of thin air, creates at most a light change in the breeze. Large or sudden displacement of air can create sound, as thunderclaps following a lightning flash attest. Arriving or maneuvering aliens, who do not arrive all at once lest they collide with each other at the staging point, create sudden movement in the airspace in confined or delimited settings. Clap, clap, the aliens have arrived. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. A phenomenon that I, Nancy, observed once is the lightning cloud. We were visiting relatives in Milwaukee during Summerfest, and as Wisconsin is a bit of a UFO hotspot, group or family visitations were probably being arranged on a day when missing time would not be noticed. I noticed an odd cloud in the cloudless sky nearby. Lightning was coming out of the top of it, something that just didn't make sense. There were no storm clouds about, no sign of pending rain, an almost crystal clear sky. It made no sense until Zeta Talk arrived with the answer at a later date. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Lightning Clouds, written November 1996. Lightning clouds are a type of sighting that implies but does not show the ship. This is equivalent to jet trails across the sky or the wake left behind a boat. A stationary cloud bristling with lightning is making the statement, a ship was here. The lightning is caused by sudden air displacement when the ship leaves third density. The air surrounding on all sides rushes in, and depending on air currents in place at the time, will either cause knocking as the air masses clap together, or cloud formation and lightning if the air masses are sliding past each other. Lightning clouds form when the ships are unusually large and were moving at the point of exit, rather than stationary. Humans who could not see the ship due to a close blend with the surrounding backdrop are surprised to see a stationary cloud bristling with lightning topside, as no known weather condition on Earth produces this phenomenon. They correctly assume that something supernatural has occurred, and since the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind dramatized this phenomenon to indicate an approaching ship, usually suspect that a sighting has occurred. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Close Encounters was based on a book called The UFO Experience by J. Allen Hynek, who served as the film's technical advisor. Can there be any doubt that Hynek, an expert on UFO sightings, was also a member of MJ-12. Clouds bristling with lightning were symbolic of the approach of ships or motherships throughout the movie. And I quote from a movie blurb on Close Encounters, "The transcendent film followed the odyssey of various characters, including an obsessed middle-class power lineman and a distraught mother and her young son, as they were inexplicably lured to a volcano-like mountain in Wyoming to experience a spectacular extraterrestrial encounter. This awe-inspiring film is one of the most dazzling UFO science fiction films ever made. The special effects of the mothership are spectacular." End of the quote. Landing sites also reflect the density shifting that has occurred there. It has long been reported that plants do not grow there for months or even years at times, not even a weed. Why would the suppression of weed growth occur? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Landing Sites, written July 1995. "Regarding the impact spaceships from other dimensions have on the physical Earth, these are phenomena unknown to Earth scientists and a puzzle. However, this puzzle has a simple key. Life forms, such as seeds, present or yet to arrive on the soil's surface, require nutrients. To germinate, they require water, wherein they rely on the nutrients within the seed for their first tentative germination efforts. After establishing a minimal root growth, the germinating plant seeks not only water, but nutrients. Lacking either of these, the germinating seed dies. Life is started, but starved early on. In the case of the landing spot of spaceships from another dimension, the lack is not water, but the availability of nutrients. How are the nutrients withheld when the surrounding soil has no such problem? This is due to prior obligations where the atoms are pre-obligated to certain interactions. When moving into another density, as from the fourth density to the third, in order to appear within the consciousness of humans, several steps are required. One is to reserve a place in the density to be moved into. This reservation places a lock on atoms in the density to be moved into. The lock is overpowering enough to freeze activity in the general area for non-intelligent actions. However, for intelligent actions, such as those under the direction of humans, or even semi-intelligent actions of animals such as mammals or reptiles and birds, this lock can be broken after having been set. Plants do not have the power to break this lock of their own accord. How does the lock then get broken after so many seasons where growth does not occur in the soil so affected? The original reservation for the time-space in the density to be moved into has parameters where a maximum of time is given. When this time reservation runs out or expires, the nutrients held in a lock are freed, and the normal interaction occurs. Seeds now germinate and find nutrients awaiting them, and life returns to normal." End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Why would they need to freeze the molecules in third density prior to a move there? If I were slipping into a crowded elevator, I'd want to be able to push other people aside, not find them frozen in place. Can Zeta Talk explain? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Physical Density, written July 1995. "We make a reservation in the vibrational density we wish to move to and then move. If we're moving into a density already occupied, we ensure a safe move by first freezing the objects in the reserved area so that no molecular action is occurring. It is, in essence, a dead stop, similar to what the soil at landing sites is exhibiting when plants fail to grow there for some time after the landing, as the mineral nutrients are frozen for a time. After objects in the reservation area are frozen, they are taken into the density we are shifting from, still in their frozen state. The receiving point is essentially in the middle of a vacuum to minimize molecular encounters. When the frozen portions from the reservation area are at hand, we step into this same area, arranging ourselves around any object temporarily taken from the density we are moving to, and all is then quickly returned to the target density. Horrors such as occurred at the Philadelphia experiment are not possible with this procedure, for if the target density is so crowded that we cannot step into the arena, we return the objects and select another spot. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Ah, I think I'm getting it. They don't take the soil from the landing site into their arena to arrange themselves around it. As this is just a flat area they're going to drop onto once the density shift has occurred. The density shift occurs in the air mass above the soil. They just ensure that it stays still during the sudden emergence of a ship from another density. I'll bet freezing it for months is on purpose, too, to leave a sign that the alien presence is real. Visiting contactees also, at times, involves density shifting, as where the contactee reports being floated through a window, glass and all. They are unaware that what they have done is a partial density shift to allow their molecules to slide past those in the glass, and they feel nothing. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Switch Density, written July 1995. Regarding what it feels like to move from third density to fourth density, this will be scarcely perceptible. There is no pain. There's no sensation. The impact is not from the entity's physical body, which moves as a whole to the other density, but from the surroundings. Bear in mind that we, the Zetas, move ourselves between densities often in our work. We also move humans between densities frequently during our endeavors. Humans sometimes recall these instances and state with amazement that they move through walls or the like. They are adjusting to their surroundings. The move between densities is graduated so that a move is not necessarily complete. If physical barriers are to be overcome, we, the Zetas, can alter our or human densities slightly so that communal passage between what would be considered solid objects is possible. Let us state simply that in changing to fourth density, as the Earth will shortly, humans will not be aware that something has happened. Spiritually, the human may feel more aware of others' feelings, as though spirituality has increased in all those around one. This will not be understood to be a density change in most humans, who will ascribe the change to other influences. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And beyond floating through walls, contactees might be teleported to a visitation area. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Teleporting, written September 1996. Density switching involves more than simply increasing or decreasing the vibrational level of the object to be moved. It can also involve moving from one point in space to another, or one point in time to another. Thus, a contactee can be picked up for a conference, taken to another place for this conference, and returned after the conference to the same place and time as the pickup point. To the contactee who has not experienced missing time, nothing ostensibly has happened. If the contactee returns with the conference recorded in his subconscious. Should there have been a medical procedure during the visit, the contactee's body retains the result of that medical procedure upon return. This method of arranging visits is obviously more complicated than simply picking the contactee up from a point in the woods or asking them to walk out of their bedroom into the backyard so they can experience a bit of missing time. Here, density switching is not involved, nor manipulation of time or space. Being less complicated, this method is most often used during a visit. However, there are special times when transporting is used. If a contactee is extremely busy, so that arranging a bit of missing time is either a burden or a frank impossibility during the day, transporting from one point in space and time to another may be used to arrange a meeting. Such a transport may or may not involve a density switch, depending upon the density where the others to be present at the meeting currently reside. If the meeting is with a number of alien visitors in fourth density, the contactee will be moved to that density for the meeting. The return to the point in space and time is so exacting that the contactee may be picked up naked and be returned into their clothing unruffled. If a hybrid fetus is to be extracted from a donor mother's womb, and for reasons of health the donor mother should not experience the usual vacuum extraction method via the birth canal, then the fetus can be transported. This is done by locating the fetus within the mother's tissue by DNA signature and targeting that tissue and some surrounding tissue from the mother to be transported. The perimeter is defined in such a way that the mother's womb is barely affected, but the fetus is kept snug until an alternative womb can be placed around it. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Contactee visitations can also be done soul to soul, where nothing is recorded in the subconscious mind of the contactee, but the soul has had a conference. In these cases, as the stuff of souls transcends all densities, there is no density shifting required. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Density Crossovers, written August 1996. As we have mentioned that the stuff of souls, the substance spirits are composed of, transcends all density levels as it can interact with what humans call the physical world on all density levels simultaneously. Corporal existence is but a layer in the total strata, and there are more substances than the stuff of souls that can transcend the corporal layers. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Most of the visitors reside in fourth density, only coming over for a face-to-face visit in the flesh, as fourth density is a lighter physical environment, allowing the spiritual life to be more predominant. Thus, the visitors are right at hand, nearby, in fact, occupying the same space. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Coexisting, written July 1995. In all cases where aliens are contacting humans, there is some density shifting occurring. For instance, when spaceships are in fourth density in your atmosphere, but are not seen by humans. When the alien entities wish to be seen, they move their ships into third density, zip about, and then return to fourth density to disappear. Another instance is where aliens are in fourth density, whether in their spaceships or in residence near Earth. When they wish to be visible to humans, they move into third density for the conference. Then, as soon as possible, as they wish for their comfort to be returned, they return to fourth density. Those alien groups visiting the Earth are almost without exception from the fourth density. Some fifth or sixth density entities are here on Earth, however heavy this might feel to them. They are used to higher frequencies, more motion, and greater allowance for movement and thought. To return to a lower density is commensurate with a human going into the water to assist dolphins, even though the pressure of the water would feel weighty upon one. These visiting higher density entities, who are here to contact humans as the call might be given, prefer not to be in the heavier third density any more than necessary. They move into third density to be visible to humans, and then get the heck out. Thus humans perceive them to be disappearing. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Not only do they not want to linger in third density, there are also places in third density where they would not want to coexist, sharing the same space, and for good reason. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Ocean Habitat, written August 1995. The Earth has 17 different species who are visiting Earth during the transformation, living either within or under the seas. They occupy the seafloor or the waters in fourth density, so essentially, as far as humans are concerned, they do not exist. Why the seas? Because the depth of the seafloor places them closest to the center of the formulated center of the Earth, in fourth density. We say formulated, as the Earth today is not in fourth density, and thus these species are essentially floating in space, connected to each other in a sort of mesh or web. Why not simply occupy what would be the center of the Earth, or create a fourth density space station, or perch on the moon? Where third and fourth density substances do not interact, attempting to live within the hot, heavy, molten core of the Earth would be, shall we say, a drag. It places a burden on the fourth density substances, and results in something like a chronic headache. Being in or under the seas makes for an easy transition to and from third density during visitations or contact in the form of sightings. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Indeed, the fact that alien bases are underwater is well documented in ufology lore. And I quote from some of this, from UFO Evidence Site. What secrets lurk in ocean depths? Are there alien forms of intelligent life that occupy the vast volumes of water that constitute our oceans, seas, and lakes? The largest of our oceans, the Pacific, covers 64 million square miles and reaches a depth of 36,198 feet, a depth that no ray of sunlight ever reaches. Could these depths hide alien submarine bases? Underwater UFOs have been sighted on many occasions, lifting out of their submerged depths and taking to the air. Aliens could remain undetected by building their bases beneath the world's ocean. By actual count, over 50% of the UFO sightings had occurred over, coming from, or plunging into or coming out of water. End of the quote. So how do the aliens living in fourth density underwater keep that mesh in place in cold space, positioned just where the Earth would be in third density? Something the Zetas call a crossover anchor. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Density Crossovers, written August 1996. Thus, when we switch ourselves and our ships and our contactees between third and fourth density, we can remain anchored to the spot where we wish to return. These anchors are so accurate and certain that we can even remove a contactee from their clothing, examine them in the nude, and return them back within their clothing with nary a strap askew or a sleeve rumpled. Likewise, our fourth density underwater residences on Earth and our fourth density dome homes on the surface of Mars are firmly anchored to their locales on these planets. Density crossovers are not substances humans are aware of, but coexist everywhere in the universe along with corporeal substances and the stuff of souls. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought. Those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.